Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Mark 5. On the other side of the sea, they arrived in the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, he was met by a man with an unclean spirit who was coming from the tombs. This man had been living in the tombs and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. Though he was often bound with chains and shackles, he had broken the chains and shattered the shackles. Now there was no one with the strength to subdue him. Night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he kept crying out and cutting himself with stones. When the man saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees before him, and he shouted in a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God not to torture me." For Jesus had already declared, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." "What is your name?" Jesus asked. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus repeatedly not to send them out of that region. There, on the nearby hillside, a large herd of pigs was feeding. So the demons begged Jesus, "Send us to the pigs, so that we may enter them." He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and went into the pigs, and the herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described what had happened to the demon-possessed man and also to the pigs, and the people began to beg Jesus to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus would not allow him. "Go home to your own people," he said, "and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." So the man went away and began to proclaim throughout the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. When Jesus had again crossed by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him beside the sea. A synagogue leader named Jairus arrived, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him urgently, "My little daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years. She had borne much agony under the care of many physicians and had spent all she had, but to no avail. Instead, her condition had only grown worse. When the woman heard about Jesus, she came up through the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she kept saying, "If only I touch his garments, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At once, Jesus was aware that power had gone out from him. Turning to the crowd, he asked, "Who touched my garments?"
His disciples answered,
"You can see the crowd pressing in on you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, trembling in fear, and she told him the whole truth. "Daughter," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free of your affliction." While he was still speaking, messengers from the house of Jairus arrived and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher any more?" But Jesus overheard their conversation and said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, just believe." And he did not allow anyone to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and the people weeping and wailing loudly. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After he had put them all outside, he took the child's father and mother and his own companions and went in to see the child. Taking her by the hand, Jesus said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at once they were utterly astounded. Then Jesus gave strict orders that no one should know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. This is God's word. At the end of Mark 4, which we read last time, Jesus calmed the storm and caused the disciples to ask themselves, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." That's Mark 4:41 from the NIV. Here in chapter 5, the answer to that question emerged from an unlikely source, a man possessed by a large number of demons. This man, called the demoniac of Gadara, knew exactly who Jesus was and called him Jesus, Son of the Most High God, in verse 7. After Jesus liberated this man from his demons in verses 8 through 13, the word about Christ spread, and people in the town came out to see for themselves. They found the man sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, in the words of verse 15 from the NIV. And he was most likely listening to Jesus teach as they watched him. This man had terrorized the region, according to verses 3 through 5. Yet, after Jesus released him, the people in the town were afraid, according to verse 15c, and began to plead with Jesus to leave their region, according to verse 17. After Christ did what nobody else, even the strongest metal chains, could not do, I would expect them to want Jesus to stay. Wouldn't you want to know more about this powerful man? Wouldn't this demonstration of divine power make you want to know more? But that didn't happen in this case. The people were not in awe of Jesus, begging to be transformed by his power. They were afraid of Jesus and wanted him to leave. Scripture does not specifically tell us why they did not respond positively to Jesus. But given the truths about the human heart that we've read in other passages of Scripture recently, it seems likely that they had sins that they did not want to turn away from in repentance. While nowhere near as sinful and scary as the demon-possessed man was, these people still had things they wanted to hide from God. Maybe the man Jesus delivered made them feel better about their own sins, since they could easily point to someone else who was worse. But if Jesus could transform a man who was sold out to Satan like this, what excuse could the average sinner have for not receiving Christ in faith and repentance? Have you ever seen someone transformed by Christ, and then have you felt odd about being in that person's presence? Does someone else's testimony of spiritual growth or deliverance from sin make you feel exposed? When you see God dramatically transform someone else, does your heart cry out for that kind of transformation in your own life too? Or are you more likely to stay away from that person and hope that he or she doesn't rub off on you? The people who asked Jesus to leave their region were not Christians. That's why they asked Jesus to leave. They didn't want to become his children. But even we Christians sometimes are repelled by someone else's spiritual transformation, so much so that we put some separation between them and us. Don't do that. Rejoice whenever God saves someone or whenever God sparks a work of dramatic growth in someone's life. Then humble yourself and ask God to work in your life too. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, to subscribe to these devotionals as a podcast or as a daily email subscription. This is completely free. So it's a way to build a Bible reading habit in your life. And if you'd like to support me financially, please go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.